It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas, at 12 noon Pacific time on Friday, September 18th, 2020. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, streaming everywhere. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, like deja vu all over again. It was four nights ago we were in these chairs, Gary, calling the final game of the Golden Knights season, and here we are again to talk more hockey. How are you today?
We've done Nighttime at Noon since that game as well.
We did?
I believe so.
Maybe you did. I didn't.
I did it. Who did I do it with?
I don't know.
I wasn't here.
I
did it with Gosher. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
With Gosher.
Well, you know what? I'm a little confused, and it's probably because I'm red. There's rage in my mind right now.
Rage?
Yes.
No.
I've got some beef, Dan.
Some beef?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm the one who should be upset. You're cheating on me with Gosher.
Well, I'm going to say right off the bat.
Yeah.
You should be here.
Okay.
Yes, I should not be here.
You should not be here.
No,
why
this
is that?
It's a Friday afternoon.
Friday. Yeah.
The team has been eliminated, unfortunately.
Right.
I'm the oldest.
You're going that direction.
I was the first broadcaster hired.
You were hired.
First in.
Yes.
And where is Stormy? Where's Millard?
I think Stormy might have been here yesterday.
That's fine. She
Millard
should be here again today.
I see. Millard's coming up. They're doing the show at 4
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah, I've got beef with that, too. So we'll get to that in a second.
Well, you're pulling rank, is what you're saying. Or you wanted
I shouldn't have to
pull have pulled rank.
Rank.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And I'm not the type to pull rank.
Uh-huh.
I am the type to bitch about it on the radio.
Apparently so. This is what happens in the offseason, apparently. Gary is pulls the curtain back and lets us know what he really thinks.
To be perfectly honest, I was really excited to come here, and I even texted you this morning, and we had a show call. We had a planning session.
We could have just recorded our phone call earlier this morning and put that on the air, and it would have been fine. But
you know,
we stopped ourselves short of that.
I was excited to get here, but then I arrived at the office, and there's not as many people here as usual. So
it's a Friday.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Yeah. So then I walk in and you know, I see George McPhee. I have a nice conversation with him. And then I walk over here and the first person I see is Garrett Callaway.
Oh, Garrett Callaway, of course.
Garrett is 25 and is...
Is he that old? Is
has
he really?
Risen
oh, boy.
To the heights where he gets to assign me... you know, shifts.
I thought he was
cetera,
an intern.
Et cetera. He's not anymore.
Oh, he was
and
an
even
intern.
Even if he,
I see.
Okay. was an intern, it doesn't seem to really bother him. He's happy to say, Lawless, be here at this time and and do this.
I see.
So the first I see him and I walk by him, I go, and it just, you know, you know the way I think. I see him, I go, hello, Mr. Slate.
I do, yes. Scary as it may be.
So I call him Mr. Slate, and he just looks at me blankly.
Mr. Slate?
Yes.
He didn't
yes.
get the reference.
No, he didn't. Mr. Slate, of course, is the manager, the boss at the quarry where Fred and Barney work in the Flintstones.
Of course.
And so then it just started a whole bunch of kind of, you know, I have gone as Fred on Halloween.
Do we have photographs of this?
My wife, I'm sure, does somewhere.
Oh, please, can we get that on the Twitter?
Well, and then, you know, Dan, Barney is a little bit shorter than Fred. And you kind of are a little shorter than me, so...
You call me a dimwit? Is that what
you're
doing?
Not at all.
All right.
No, I'm not... What did Gizmo call them? Dum-dums. Hello, dum-dums.
Oh.
When he would appear.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, Gizmo,
that's right.
One of my favorite characters. Anyways, all of this is a roundabout way of saying that I shouldn't be here, but I'm yet still glad to be here. Now,
on to
Millard for a second.
Millard, okay. You're just picking them off one at a time
well,
here.
Well, yesterday I had an errand to run, and I got in the car, and I flipped on the VGK Insider Show.
Right, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM,
and
streaming everywhere.
They're having a conversation about... who was the best player for the Golden Knights in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And I will say this: they quickly stated their cases, but then they started wandering into, well, this guy, you know, he had a bad regular season and a really good playoff, so that makes him. No. The topic was who was the best player.
No.
Who performed the best? Anyways,
yeah.
Millard doesn't have Robin Leonard on his list. Neither did Ryan Wallace.
Oh, no.
Chris Chapman's the only guy that had Robin Leonard. And I texted Millard. I go, yeah. Are you kidding me? Robin Leonard isn't on your list?
Did you write down the players that did make their list? Or
they
do
had
you remember?
Shea Theodore. They had Alex Tuck. They had Zach Whitecloud. Like, all good choices. Yeah. You know, it's Theodore and Leonard, and it's...
Right. Well, I think you and I had the conversation, should the Golden Knights go on to grander things here, who would be the Golden Knights candidates for Conn Smythe Trophy? And I think the conversation started with Robin Leonard and ended with Shea Theodore. I'm not sure that there was another person in that conversation.
There isn't.
So
unless you're...
You and I were on the same page.
Unless you're on the VGK Insider Show. Then Millard, feeling chastised... And rightfully so. And then admitting
chastised by you.
And then admitting on air that he felt shame.
He should.
Like, his cheeks should have been burning red.
It's like he was in the penalty box in an opposing venue and the fans were chanting shame at him.
Yes, exactly. So then he decides, how do I deflect? How do I steer this conversation in another way? Mm. Well, I'm going to throw Lawless under the bus. And he invents some theory that because my title on my business card, you'll never hear me refer to myself as the VGK Insider.
No, that's my job to say.
But it's on my business card. You know what I mean? It's the title
that
they came up with when they hired me here. He says that I have issues with the name of the radio show that Ryan and Chris have done such a great job.
The Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
He claims,
but without the
that
Vegas
I
Golden
run
Knights
around
Insiders.
The office here, half cocked, screaming, "How can they have that show and I'm not on it?"
Have you spoken to people about this? Is there?
I sent Millard a note and said, "You just made that up." Which he replies, and listen, if you think I shouldn't be airing the dirty laundry, like. He invented dirty laundry. He spilt tea that wasn't even brewed on air.
Oh, wow. So take that for an analogy.
So I have no problem doing this. He says, yeah, I did. But now that means you have to come onto the show and we can have a big to-do about it.
So are you demanding a presence on this show? Is
I
he demanding
had.
A presence on your
I
show?
Had, but I don't need to now. They can just play this clip.
Okay.
Same radio station.
Is this going to turn into like that sports talk show in Houston where the hosts got so angry at each other that one of them just walked out of the studio, but they were Twitch video streaming it, and so some curse words got out on the video? That's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Okay.
I did a radio show in Winnipeg for 11 years with my partner, Andrew Hustler Patterson, the Hustler and Lawless Show.
And what's it called now?
The Afternoon Drive.
Yeah,
whenever I'm on it, I always say to them, which one of you guys is Afternoon and which one of you is Drive? Like, what a terrible name.
Yeah, it's not very creative.
But tough to follow Hustler and Lawless.
That's true.
And it's like, these were not, like, these are not stage names. His nickname from when he was a little boy was Hustler because he was such a lazy player. They would say, hey, Hustler, you're really hustling tonight.
So it's an ironic nickname.
It is an ironic nickname.
It's like when you call a big, huge bodyguard Shorty.
Exactly, yeah. And my name is Lawless. Like,
yes, well, that's for real.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, well, see, we're learning all kinds of stuff here at nighttime at noon. So now that we've taken up 10 minutes of your day with that, there is actually more radio to review, but more on the hockey side of things. As you may have heard, the Tampa Bay Lightning have joined the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup Final by virtue of a victory over the New York Islanders last night. And this is fun. I enjoy this, especially the day after a big moment. And it was not only a conference clincher last night, it was an overtime goal. The Tampa Bay Lightning, Gary, have clinched each of their first three series with overtime game-winning goals. That's not happened before.
They're impressive. I tweeted this right after the game last night that I'll leave the tail of the tape to somebody else to do the although maybe Garrett will assign me this now. There's other people that are there and are watching the games. They'll do the heavy duty analysis, the heavy lifting prior to the series, the tail of the tape. My heart is with the Dallas Stars, and that's because of Rick Bonus and Jim Nill. They're guys that I've known for a long time and have a lot of regard for. And we're going to get into your relationship with John Cooper probably in our next segment. But so my heart with the Stars, my head is with Tampa. I do think, and I should actually cheer for Tampa a little bit because Mitchell Stevens is from my hometown. His uncle was one of my, we were teammates in a number of sports in high school. And his mother, the lovely and talented Heather, I guess she's Heather Stevens. She married a guy named Lee Stevens who went to another high school that I didn't really like, but that's high school stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, those rivalries.
Yes, exactly. She's a really nice lady and was a good friend of mine in high school. So I should kind of steer, but I've never really met him. So
Mitchell, he's from what you're saying, it sounds like he's a delightful, delightful family.
Good
and
stock.
Mitchell sure is, and got to see him in his early professional days in the American League. Okay, before we get into all of that, four different American broadcasts. Four different ones, right? The Lightning broadcast, the Islanders broadcast, the TV call nationally, the radio call nationally. And I want you to listen to each of these broadcasts. First up, Dave Mishkin, Hall of Famer Phil Esposito. This is Lightning Radio, cut one.
Cirelli bangs it in and chases. Cirelli after the puck right circle. Can he keep it alive in the right corner? Right corner, Goodrow. Barkley Goodrow behind the net. In front, Cirelli. Shoots! Is it in? Score! Score!
Is it in? Is it in?
Cirelli! Cirelli!
Yep.
The Lightning win it! It's over! Stanley Cup final! Here come the Lightning!
Well, I'll tell you what. This was a great play by Goodrow. And Cirelli flips it off the goalpost. It goes right along the line and then goes in off the left skate of Varlamov.
That's Dave Mishkin, Phil Esposito on Lightning Radio. One of Esposito's former broadcast partners, Sam Rosen, who is the New York Rangers TV announcer, working for Westwood One, working the game with his colleague with the Rangers, Joe Micheletti. Here is Westwood One's coverage and the call of Cirelli's overtime winner in cut two.
Lightning come to center. Cirelli drops it into the right corner. Chases after it. Plays it to the boards. Double team. Loose puck. Picked up by Goodrow. Behind the net. In front. And they score. They score. The Lightning score and they won it. The Tampa Bay Lightning are going to the Stanley Cup final.
What a play by Anthony Cirelli, Sam. He dumped the puck in the zone. He beat the Islanders to go get it. He puts it behind the net where Barkley Goodrow has it behind the net and passes it right back out in front to Cirelli. And Cirelli let it go quickly. It went off the far post, trickled back in the other side. And Cirelli, the youngster we talked about, somebody having to step up beside the big guys. And Cirelli ends up scoring the game winner.
That's Westwood One and Sam Rosen, the Rangers TV announcer with Joe Micheletti, also the Rangers announcer, but used to be an Islanders analyst for MSG. Speaking of the Islanders, here is the call from their play-by-play man on the radio, Chris King, in cut three.
And behind the net is Barkley Goodrow setting up shop. Movement in front, Cirelli shoots, and he thinks he has scored. He has! Anthony Cirelli wins it in overtime for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They take it 2-1 in sudden death overtime. They are the 2020 Eastern Conference champions, and they will go to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 2015. For the New York Islanders, their incredible playoff run comes to an end here tonight in Edmonton.
It's Chris King on New York Islanders radio. And last but certainly not least, the former New Jersey Devils broadcaster, and now, of course, on NBC, here's Doc Emmerich.
Cirelli plays it back in and goes burrowing in after it, pumped it on further, and continued to work. Coming by now is Goodrow. Goodrow around behind. Oh, and Cirelli scores! Or does he? Yes! Cirelli has scored!
Mike Emmerich, the call on NBC in Anthony Cirelli's overtime winner. Gary, pretty neat to hear the different play-by-play calls. I listened to the Canadian broadcast, too. Just not enough time to play all of them.
Yeah, well, the local guys, obviously, you kind of, you know, that's what you expect from them. And
there's passion in there.
There's
for
passion
sure.
in there, that's for sure. I would say I would prefer, for my preference, Sam and Doc's calls were more up my alley.
Well, and you heard several days ago Chris King for an Islanders theatrics. And
theatrics is a good word for it.
And that's it. So it turns out that it is the Tampa Bay Lightning moving on to face the Dallas Stars Stanley Cup Final starting tomorrow. Speaking of the Lightning, it's their second trip to the final under their head coach, John Cooper. They made it back in 2015 and lost. Was told, you're going to be back. Didn't know it was going to take them 5 years. You figured President's Trophy last year, that maybe it would be their season in 2019. Of course, didn't win a single playoff game, swept by the Blue Jackets. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Little taste of greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Bruce Springsteen's album from the 70s, Spirit in the Night. Gary, I heard this song being played over the PA in Edmonton last night. I wonder if that's a coincidence.
Probably not. And the last time Commissioner Gary Bettman was on our show, he told us that this was his favorite Springsteen song. So when you heard it last night, you told me about it, and I texted the commissioner this morning and said, hey, did you hear the song? And he, of course I heard the song.
Did he request the song is what I want to know. Somebody was listening to Nighttime at Noon in Edmonton.
That's probably what happened.
Heard Gary Bettman talk about his favorite Springsteen song and had to play it during the game last night.
So John Cooper, coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and how many years were you and John together in Syracuse?
Well, really just one.
Just one.
Just one, and it's a little bit strange because that was the lockout year, and it was also the first year the Tampa Bay Lightning had affiliated with the Syracuse Crunch. They had been in Norfolk, Virginia, the Norfolk Admirals. They went on an incredible run, won the Calder Cup, set the professional record for winning. They didn't – think about this, Gary. Regular season, they did not lose a game in the regular season after the Super Bowl. Think about that.
No kidding.
Yeah. You know, from early February into early April. Now, they did lose a couple of games during the Calder Cup playoffs, but they did win it all. Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, Alex Killorn among the players from that Norfolk team who are still with that organization. Others have moved up and gone elsewhere, but John Cooper was the coach. Then that organization moves to Syracuse, my first year there, and that's when we got to know each other in 2012.
So just, you know, the relationship between the radio play-by-play guy and the head coach in the American League is different than it is at the NHL level. You know, you ride the bus with the
team.
That's
the phrase. You ride the bus.
Right. You know, even when I was a beat guy working for an independent newspaper, I rode the bus with the team. And there were days when the coach would be mad at me because I'd written something that he didn't like. But, you know, I never got thrown off the bus. You were in charge of ordering the food, getting the per diem, like a lot
of public relations. Well, thankfully, the per diem, I think I didn't have to do in the American League.
No.
ECHL, I did for sure.
Yeah,
you know, let's just say the Lightning organization doesn't own the team in Syracuse. Independent ownership. You know, Howard Dolgan and the folks there, Jim Cerosi, Vance Liederman, great folks. And it's now been 8 years that they've had that affiliation, and it seems to have gone really well. The point is they treat their minor leaguers really well. So the experience was interesting at that point because you had all these guys in Norfolk. And let's be honest, Norfolk, Virginia, Virginia Beach, that's a pretty nice place to live.
Yeah.
And then you're taking that group, their reward for winning a Stanley Cup championship is to move to Syracuse,
Calder
New York.
Calder Cup championship.
What did I say?
You said Stanley
Cup. Oh, pardon me. Calder Cup. Yes.
Yeah.
And I love Syracuse. I lived in Syracuse for parts of 9 years as a student and a professional. It's not quite the same.
No.
And so you can imagine the mindset of all these guys who just won a championship, and now they're coming to this new place, and there was plenty of resistance. And they didn't want to embrace. I mean, Syracuse had been a rival. All the people in Syracuse.
For sure.
It was hard for John Cooper and a lot of those players to just shift gears and all of a sudden call Syracuse home. So there was that additional challenge of trying to get to know everybody. I was also brand new myself to that organization.
You got to know John Cooper very well. I know you're still kind of friendly. He still texts you, and you text him from time to time. We won't. We'll get into that later. But so first of all, what's he like?
He's incredibly smart, and I don't just mean that he knows a lot about hockey, because he does. I don't just mean that he's well-rounded and knows a lot about all kinds of things, because he does. He has a law degree. I think what impresses me the most is how much he knows about people and how to interact with people. It's not a broad brush. He knows that, Gary, today you might need a kick in the rear end, and tomorrow you might need a pat on the back. And maybe I'm in the same situation as you, but today I need a pat on the back, and tomorrow I need a kick in the rear end. He knows each guy in that room really well. He knows how to get the most out of his players, and he recognizes the importance of personalities. These aren't just pieces or numbers that you move around like checkers pieces or chess pieces. These are people, and I think that is as smart as he is as a coach, he's a brilliant motivator. I think that's what stands out to me.
It is interesting. I'm just a little segue here, a little tangent. When you think about an office, like when I started in hockey, the head coach was, the expression was, this is not a democracy, it's a dictatorship, and I'm the head dick. That was sort of what you would hear from coaches. And if they decided a guy was coming out, the guy was coming out, and sometimes there wouldn't be a conversation about it. And some coaches would never talk to their goalies, would just sort of say, you know, tell the trainer, go tell him he's in tomorrow or whatever, right? Like that's the way it was done. And if you think about it in an office setting, if you treated people in an office setting that way, you'd have people that were miserable and always questioning their value, their place. And it would be a disaster.
Right.
And so, you know, you were seeing this change where coaches have become communicators, and the trick is to be able to communicate and motivate and get the best from a group and from individuals. And that's Cooper is one of the best at that, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's exactly right. And you know, there's levity. I think about John Cooper, and I think how thoughtful he is in his interviews, and I want to play a little bit of what he said last night. But a quick story, Gary, and I think I've told you this, and it's one of the handful of stories I can repeat on the air without any concern. There are others that I would not repeat. But pregame interview at some point, we're in the coach's office and sitting around a large table that's the shape of a hockey rink, right? You could draw on it with a whiteboard marker, and there's a TV. There was another NHL game on, and we were kind of watching. So it's a couple hours before the game. John and I have just sat down, and he's got his pregame meal. So he's starting to chomp away, and we're watching the game. And he kind of mid-swallow says, "All right, Danny, let's go." I'm like, "Well, John, you could finish your dinner here. Like, I'm not in a hurry." He said, "No, let's go." I'm like, "John, like you're eating." He says, "Nope, here we go." Like, all right, you're the coach. And I hit record. I said, "Welcome back to the War Memorial in Syracuse. Dan Duva, John Cooper here." John is continuing to put food in his mouth, actively consuming his dinner. And at some point, he finally gulps down whatever was in his mouth. And that's when I finally finished stalling. And so John, what do you think?
Yeah.
And then he starts answering the question without missing a beat, without hesitation, good, thoughtful answer. And at the same time as he's answering, he takes his fork, picks up some more food, puts it in my mouth. And I start chewing, and then I gulp it down. And as soon as he realizes that I have swallowed, his answer is now over. And then I proceed to ask the next question. He has some more food. And this is how the entire interview progresses, with him feeding himself and me while we're doing. And if you listen to the interview, and I'm sure I could find it, you would have no idea. You would have no idea.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, that's right. And there are so many other stories like that.
The guys like playing for him?
Oh, yeah. And I'll give you a little sense of that here, Gary, because John Cooper was asked about some of those players who have been with him for a long time. Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, Alex Killorn, all the way back to 2011, 2012 when they were rookies, and even some more recent guys. But here's John Cooper talking last night, asked about his journey with so many of the young players to get to where they are now in Cut 5.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. So, Brendan Morrow has always stuck with me, and he's a reason, a big reason we made it to the Cup Final in 2015. But when he first came into the league, he went to the Stanley Cup Finals first year. And when you're young like that, and even in my coaching career, I went my second full year. All these kids were young, and he always told me, he's like, cherish the moment and never take anything for granted, because you never know when you get back. And Morrow didn't get back again until we went in 2015. And that is partially, one of the hard things when you don't win, because you're cheering for guys like Brendan to raise the cup. And we didn't get it done that year, but he's always stuck with me, because you never know when you're going to get back. And for this group to go to a conference final like 4 to 6 years, it's pretty remarkable. And you can sit here and say, oh, well, maybe you should have won here. It's really, really hard to win in this league. And you need a lot of things to go right. Like tonight, we gave up a breakaway in overtime, and we needed our goalie to make a remarkable save to give us a chance to win tonight. Like, that stuff happens. Sometimes those go in, sometimes they don't. But the reason you get that far is because, you've earned your way, and you've played better than the other team, and eventually chances and things go your way, but you need some breaks. And it's to get back the way we have, especially with the core group all still together. I couldn't be more proud of them. And that's why I'm so happy for the players, because man, do they got this stuff out. I'm so happy for him. It's hard to explain.
It's John Cooper, head coach of the Lightning. And coaches will say things like that. They're happy for their players. They're proud of their players. But I want to play you another piece of audio that makes it a little bit more personal. You don't hear too many NHL head coaches talk about player relationships in the way that you're going to hear John Cooper talk about the personal connection between Anthony Cirelli and Braden Point. Here's John Cooper in Cut 6.
It was kind of humorous after the game, because he and Point are pretty close buddies, and they sit beside each other in the locker room, and the talk was how Cirelli's one-upping him, because Pointer got the overtime winners in the early rounds, but Cirelli takes over in the late rounds. So it was actually kind of funny to listen to those guys chirping each other, but the kid has scored big goals in his career, and everybody's remembers Memorial Cup when he was I think he was 16 at the time. We truly believe play the right way, good things are going to happen. And that's what that kid does.
Talking about Anthony Cirelli, who, by the way, did not come up big in his first handful of pro games in the Calder Cup final in 2017. I know, because I was there, but he has done quite well, as has Braden Point, in the rise to the Stanley Cup final for this group. And I think that's a little sense, Gary, of what makes John Cooper a guy that guys will run through a wall for. And just the guys like a Pat Maroon. Pat Maroon's in Tampa because of John Cooper, relationship when he was a teenager. I can go down the list of other guys who had played for John Cooper at different steps along the way, and they love playing for him. Chances are they succeeded, because Cooper has won everywhere he's gone, and they want to play for him again. I can go up and down the list of guys, many you haven't heard of because they were in the minors or what have you, but Maroon's the latest example of that, and I think that there is something to be said for that wisdom in an NHL head coach.
And they go back to when John was coaching in the North American Junior Hockey League, and they moved, the franchise moved from Texas to St. Louis, and then Maroon joined in St. Louis. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, great. Yep. Then actually, they just showed did a story the other night on, I've forgotten the young lady's name, but she joined the franchise in Texas, and then went when the franchise moved, he brought her along, and she just passed away recently. Kathy, I believe, was her name. I'll look it up and get that back to us. But Cooper's sort of story, the one thing about him is that he's won everywhere.
Oh, yeah. All three tiers of American junior hockey, and right there until the American Hockey League, the Norfolk Admirals. I mean, think about it. He had never coached professionally. He played lacrosse in college at Hofstra University on Long Island, right? That wasn't talked about a ton because none of these games were played on Long Island, right? They're in Edmonton. But John Cooper grew up in his college years going to games at Nassau Coliseum, the home of the Islanders, because he was playing lacrosse at Hofstra. And by the way, the Islanders radio broadcast is through Hofstra University. And he was practicing law, and a judge needed somebody to help coach his son's team. Cooper volunteered, had grown up in British Columbia playing hockey and on and on and on, and then went from assistant coach to head coach, and as we say, won championships at each tier of junior hockey, and then to the American League, and Calder Cup championship in 2012, and now this will be his second time in his roughly 7 years in the NHL of getting to the Stanley Cup final.
Kim Cannon was that young lady's name, and she passed away in a car accident just very recently. Yeah. And both Pat Maroon and John Cooper paid tribute to her during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a sad note, and I remember talking with John in his first days with the Syracuse Crunch, and he talked, it was the story that I wrote for the American League's website was John Cooper's roadmap, and his wife was quoted in the story, and Jesse Cooper said something like, all you need for a successful goalie is a hot goalie and a faithful dog and a loving wife, or something like that. It was funnier the way she said it. I'll have to pull up the quote. But John has always, it seems to me, been very mindful of the people who have been with him along the way. All right, so there's John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've got more to talk about on the Golden Knights side of things when we come back. We'll get to some possibilities for the NHL season and also what the Knights are looking at from now until the start of free agency. We'll be right back. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
One, two, I want to be off. 12:39 Pacific. Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Golden Knights fans, the best way to show your spirit no matter where you are in Nevada is with Golden Knights license plates. VGK plate, great way to night up your vehicle and show everybody on the road which team you root for. To get your plates, head to dmvnv.com/plates. That's dmvnv.com/plates.
You stepped all over that Springsteen there.
Well, I thought it might play
Cadillac
a little bit.
Was that Cadillac Ranch or was it Darlington County?
No, I don't think it was Darlington County.
It was Cadillac Ranch.
I think so.
I think so, too. I just wasn't sure.
I thought that maybe it would. Right, it might have played a little bit longer, but I figured we were running out of time on the show, Gary. We're way late.
All right.
So, anyway.
You got to prioritize, Dan. I think people would rather hear Springsteen than me and you.
Well, that may be fair. Jesse Cooper, John Cooper's wife, the quote that I mentioned earlier, the quote was, he's got three things, an understanding wife, a loyal dog, and one hell of a goalie. And that's from a story that was published in October of 2012. And in that same story, John Cooper goes on to say that I'm looking at 5-10 years of goals. My goal is to keep winning every year. That's what I want to do. And if you keep winning every year, there's a really good chance you're going to move up at some point or that you'll stay employed every year. This is the guy who now is the longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League. Cooper went on to say in this 2012 interview, if I don't get an opportunity to coach in the National Hockey League, am I going to lose a night of sleep? Not a chance. Not a chance. If the coaching resume ended right now, to me it's been an unbelievable ride. But in saying all that, now that you've done all this stuff, why not try to take it to the next level? This is John Cooper in 2012. Okay, Gary, there is a Stanley Cup final to be played here. Lightning and Stars begin it tomorrow. But I'm also curious what you're hearing about the start of the 2020-2021 season, which at first we thought maybe would start in December. What does it look like? What's the latest you're hearing in that regard?
Well, there's actually there's a great story on The Athletic today written by Scott Burnside, and there's a quote from a team president, and the quote is, anybody who thinks they know what's going to happen is delusional. And it's, you know, it's pretty simple. The COVID situation has put the National Hockey League and next season in particular into an area of the unknown, because we don't know how many people are going to be able to sit in stands, and we don't know what the border is going to be look like. So let's deal with the border first of all. Let's say the border stays closed,
which they extended into November
between Canada and the U.S. Yeah,
it was supposed to run out this month, and they pushed it back till November.
It.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. So you know, if that's the case, then you know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to have, like, the Blue Jays playing it, obviously, in Toronto. They've had to move their season, their home games to Buffalo, because the province of Ontario and the Health Board of Canada, Health Canada, wouldn't allow Major League Baseball teams to come from all over the United States, fly into Toronto, stay in a hotel in Toronto, have the ability to, you know, go out and be out in the streets in Toronto, and then also play games at whatever they call the Sky Dome now. So that's a possibility for the NHL. And so my thought would be that there could be a Canadian division where all seven teams in Canada just play amongst themselves. And that sort of regional look at next year, you know, Vegas would play most of its games on the West Coast. They're, you know, the Pacific Division minus the Canadian teams, Calgary and Vancouver and Edmonton. You know, you'd add a few other teams to this portion.
Colorado.
Yeah,
maybe,
exactly.
You know, we'll see how that, possible.
Yeah. And Dallas, and just sort of play the games in the Southwest. And then on the East Coast, you would have, obviously, you know, you could have the three New York teams, the Flyers, the Bruins, the Capitals. There's a division right there, right?
Right.
And then
it's interesting because the NHL did something unlike other divisions in the other three major league sports. You've got the time zones became an important factor, not so much the geography. In other words, you've got that Metro division, the teams right around New York and that region. Meanwhile, you got the Lightning and the Panthers. They're in the Atlantic Division, and they're in the same division as Boston, Montreal. So time zones is what often comes into play with that stuff.
Well, this might flip it to geography,
right? And time zones for broadcast purposes is why time zones are important.
Well, yeah, Canadian division would be would be hard because you're going from Toronto in the east all the way to...
All four time zones are represented in
Canada. Yes, exactly. You're going all the way to Vancouver in the Pacific, but you've got Central and Mountain in there as well. So that's one possibility. There has been talk about multiple bubbles, multiple hubs. You know, you would have one hub up in Canada, I would imagine, and then one in the east, one in the west, one in the central. You know, I'm just sort of
Gary Bettman has regard. Right. Spitballing is the word that comes to mind, because Gary Bettman seems to have ruled nothing out.
Well, Bill Daly said recently on a podcast with Scott Burnside and Pierre LeBrun that he goes, I go to bed every night not knowing what's going to happen. So that is they will do everything they can to play a season. I expect that they will. The economics of it, salary cap is kind of frozen at 81 million, paused at 81 million. You've got around 25 million per team in national TV revenue. The average regional TV contract is around 20 million. So you got around 45 million in TV revenue. There'd be some sponsorship revenue, some other things, but ticket revenue obviously right now is going to be, you know, if they started tomorrow, it'd probably be zero. I don't know who, I don't know where you'd be allowed to put fans in the stands.
Well, there are, I mean, let's point out that there are some football venues that are allowing fans.
Yeah, Kansas City had
outdoor venues.
Yeah, Kansas City had 16,000 at Arrowhead for their opener, and that stadium holds around 100,000 or 80,000, something like that. So, you know, less than a quarter of their capacity.
I think the point is that it's starting to happen.
Yes.
And if it's starting to happen, the threshold has been crossed into fans returning to venues, and what it looks like in a month, in a couple of months, we're hearing about the availability, apparently the soon coming availability of cheap, widespread testing. Tens of millions of tests, and you'd test yourself every day.
Yeah.
And perhaps there'd be a way of then showing that you've been tested when you go into a venue.
I mean, yeah, again, the point of all of that is that's out of Gary Bettman's control.
Right. All of those things. Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so I guess maybe the one thing that we're getting closer to really knowing is that the season isn't going to start in November. It's probably not going to start in December.
They said December 4th, Bill Daly, in that interview that you referenced, said it's not as likely as they once thought that December 4th would be that date.
And the NBA now has said that, you know, nothing is going to start there prior to Christmas Day. And that's Christmas Day, obviously, is a huge day on the NBA calendar.
Right. So, and they're just about ready to start the NBA final and over there.
Yeah.
Conference finals are.
Yeah, and the Stanley Cup is going to be awarded at the very latest on September 30th. We know the draft is going to be the 6th and the 7th, and that free agency is going to begin on the 9th. So, you know, normally you would have 2 months off. So having you know, October and November off, most of October and all of November and a little bit of December, that makes sense. And then maybe you start some kind of training camp in mid-December and then start your season in, you know, December 28th, 29th, around then.
You would have to take something out of the success the NHL experienced with testing in the bubble and the players coming back from all over the world. That's going to have to happen again for the guys who have gone overseas and have gone home. The teams that were not involved in the playoffs, that's going to have to happen again. Just to get training camps off the ground at some point.
They've learned a ton.
Yeah.
That, you know, the NHL is as experienced as anybody else in running your business in COVID times.
There are some questions for the Golden Knights to address. We'll address those coming up. Free agency is just a few weeks away. That's on deck. For now, we can tell you about VGK Authentics, the official home for all game-used Golden Knights merchandise, game-used pucks, game-worn jerseys, and more. Owning a piece of your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. All of the details, all of the items, online. VegasTeamStore.com. VGK Authentics, online at VegasTeamStore.com. We'll be right back. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Now we're talking. Gary's going to sing along to this one.
No, I'm not.
Born in the USA album, 1984. It was Cadillac Ranch we heard on the last rejoin, Gary, from 1980's The River. This, of course, is Darlington County. Me and Wayne on the 4th of July. Dan and Gary here at 12:52 on this Friday, September 18th, 2020. Wrapping things up, just got a couple of minutes, Gary, and I'm sure there will be plenty of time to talk about this topic between now and the draft, but the Golden Knights have some free agents to handle before the draft. The free agency, the draft is the 6th and 7th, and the free agency opens up on the 9th. What things come to your mind when you look at the agenda for the Golden Knights between now and then?
Well, Robin Leonard.
Robin Leonard is the guy at the top of the list, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing to address, and he is the most prominent among the Golden Knights who would become a free agent on October 9th.
Yeah, so I guess number one, you know, Kelly McCrimmon and his staff will have to figure out if they have the cap room for Robin Leonard, and then I guess, you know, have to figure out how that affects Marc-Andre Fleury and his lot in life. Obviously, if you have Leonard here, you're going to have more of a tandem system than they have in the past, and that lots of discussions will have to take place, I would imagine, and we've talked about this quite a bit, that, you know, Kelly McCrimmon and Marc-Andre Fleury, and they're going to have to, if there is going to be, if they are going to sign Leonard, they're going to have to get together and hash things out.
There were several players who signed contract extensions since February, guys who would have become free agents but signed in the NHL ranks. You're looking at Ryan Reeves, Nick Holden, Will Carrier, the up-and-comers like Zach Whitecloud and Nick Waugh. So those guys, the organization apparently wants them. They have signed extensions, so they are not going to become free agents as they would have been otherwise. Guys who are on the Golden Knights, who will become free agents unless something happens first, Derek Anglin is one, John Merrill is one, Chandler Stephenson is one, Nick Cousins is one. Tomasz Nosek is the last one among the regulars. So those are guys who would need to be re-signed, but they'll hit the open market come October 9th unless something happens, Gary.
Yeah, that's – there's not a ton of space. There's not a ton of money. And, you know, I would expect that, you know, the restricted free agents are guys that, you know, are going to be easier to handle. John Merrill, I think, has proven that he's a guy that can play in the NHL on a regular basis. So it wouldn't surprise me if John wanted to go and try a different situation where he'd have, you know, better opportunity to play every night.
I mean, you can't keep everybody. And if you're a guy who's played 300 NHL games and you've got the likes of Zach Whitecloud and Nick Hague and Dylan Coghlan, these guys who are Zach Whitecloud, obviously, young players, you just can't keep everybody. I wonder about those guys like Stephenson and Cousins, the forwards who had joined the team this year, and if there is perhaps an opportunity for them to be retained, or if Peyton Krebs, Cody Glass come along and take those spots.
Those guys are going to play here for sure. I think, Cody Glass is going to play here for sure. I think Krebs has got an opportunity to try and make this team. And I think you look at Nick Hague and Dylan Coghlan, and I would imagine that they're going to be pounding on the door as well.
So plenty of questions left unanswered for now, but the draft and free agency is starting pretty soon. It's a condensed offseason for sure. And so we'll have the draft coming up the 6th and 7th, and then free agency begins on October 9th. Of course, Robin Leonard, the big ticket item for the Golden Knights, goaltending et al. Big thanks to Jared Justice back in the studio, Garrett Callaway on site, and Mr. Slate there, right? For Gary Lawless,
yes.
Dan Duva saying on we go.